If we all rise for the flag salute, please. The Board of Directors for the Los Osos Community Services District is now in session, and we just came back from closed session. Mr. Seitz, would you give us a report on closed session?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At 6 p.m., the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss three different topics. One was labor negotiations. This was a conference with labor negotiator Bruce Beal and Harriet Steiner, who did not appear. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6 to provide instructions regarding negotiations with Dean Rawlins of SLOCIA, representing the fire support, fire supervisory, miscellaneous, and supervisory bargain units. The board did hear an update from negotiators and gave further instructions regarding continuing negotiations, but took no reportable action. Then under litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, they did meet with myself and Mike regarding three cases of pending litigation. One is the Los Osos Community Service District versus Chevron in Superior Court. This is the MTBE litigation. We did hear an update from legal counsel, but the board took no reportable action. Then Cal City's Water Company versus the Regional Project. The disposition is the petition for writ of mandate is denied. And that was signed by the judge on the 14th of this month. And then we also discussed the Los Osos Community Service District versus Cal City's Water Company in San Francisco Superior Court. This is the general groundwater adjudication case. We did hear an update from legal counsel, but the board took no reportable action. And then under personnel, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, we did review the Administrative Services Manager's position. We did hear an update, but the board took no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
Any board comment? Vice President Hensley?
I have a question. Sort of translating the lawyer talk in the the Cal City's case. What this last sentence means is, in sort of clear layman's terms, is that Cal City's has lost their case.
That's correct. They have lost their challenge to the Regional Water Quality Control Board discharge orders.
Thank you.
And Mr. Seitz, that in effect validated the discharge orders of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Thank you. Okay, at this point we'll go into the public hearings, and the first one will be to receive an update on the negotiation with CDF. Chief?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, staff, and audience. I'd like to give you this update regarding the negotiations with CDF, some budget information, some status on a piece of equipment, and some recommendations this evening. I'll be as brief as possible. You have my report, and that report and all the associated information has also been reviewed by the Emergency Services Committee on Tuesday night of this week and by the Finance Committee on Wednesday morning of this week. The staff report was written with the best information available at the time, and we have a very rapidly changing landscape when it comes to ERAF. We know that Major G failed, and whether we would be able to contract with CDF and what those costs might be. So we've had kind of a moving target, but I think this evening that we can present some information that's as accurate and as solid as any that's available. The recommendations that I made in the staff report now need to be reconsidered. My mission, as I've stated before, has always been to preserve the positions with less funds and, more importantly, still offer the best service we could to the community with those reduced resources. In meeting with CDF, we got some new information or some clarification of information that now indicates that because this is fairly complex and it could take an hour to just explain the budget sheet, but so that you understand the basics of it, I've showed all of the revenues available on the top half of the sheet because the revenue picture is somewhat changing and is important for you to understand. I've taken the expenses and summarized the expenses because we have a lot of line items and it would take up to about six pages in each of these subcategories here. So I've summarized those and showed those expenses by block or by expense type. At the bottom, you see the transfer to administration cost, any contingency that we set aside, the total expenses. And then in red, at least on the overhead here, in red across the bottom shows ending reserves that are available funds for the succeeding year. So as an example, this figure right here comes up as part of the revenue picture for the succeeding year, and it's indicated in red across the top. Many questions have been asked about, well, exactly what was the reserve number we started with, how the reserve spent, and that is generally in our budget, which is published as adopted by the board. It is on a front summary sheet, but for clarity purposes, I chose to include it as a revenue line item here so that you can actually see the numbers. This is what we started, $930,000. This is what we started the fiscal year with in terms of reserves, and then you see the reserve balances on the bottom and as they are transferred to the top as previously described. The mid-year budget was approved by the board. That's the first column that you see, and the mid-year budget will not be expended to the extent that was approved in no way, shape, or form. You see next to that, to the right of that, a column that says fiscal year 03-04 final budget. This is the budget that we will end the fiscal year on, and I was able to cut some $218,000 additionally out of that budget for savings to help move us into the future. So that is the final budget for this year ending in June. Then you see the fiscal year 04-05 proposed budget. That's the third column to the right. And that is the budget that I was proposing. It was a further reduction of some $666,000, but there were layoffs, five personnel being laid off as part of that additional savings, as well as other operational and maintenance cost reductions. If you go to the next column where it says fiscal year 04-05 CDF budget, what we see here again is the revenue picture, and you bring that down and you see the a similar number to the 04-05 proposed budget for South Bay if we were to continue to stand alone, $524,000. So you see the total revenue there of $2,165,000. You see CDF's projected costs for each of the line items, down through there for a total of 1.8. The big hit has been with ERAF. And if you understand, ERAF is the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund that the state takes portions of property tax dollars and takes them from local government and uses them to fund education. The governor has made a deal, a tentative deal at least, that is yet to be approved by the legislature, that CSDs that have fire departments will not take the hit. We potentially looked at a hit as big as $662,000 in addition to the ERAF that is already being taken from us this year, which is about $694,000. And that started way back in 92, and the state has taken $6 million or just a hair under $6 million directly from your fire department since 92 to date. And then they wanted to take another $662. Well, the governor said, Mr. Buell was in attendance at this meeting, the governor said that he did not want to take and further impact emergency services. And so the tentative deal that was struck is that fire departments with over $1 million in property tax revenues would only take a 3% hit. In other words, we would enjoy 97% of the property taxes that we enjoyed this year. And that's his deal, and that is the same condition for next year if this is validated by the legislature and approved. And then in 06-07 fiscal year, we would go back to the full 03-04 property tax, excuse me, which is $1.3 million. And if there is any growth in that, we would also reclaim that. So what we would do is we've got two very lean years to face, and then when we begin to dig ourselves out, we would start with this number, be reduced to this number, or here for the next 2 years, and then in 06-07, we anticipate that our property tax revenues would go back to a $1.5 million, so we would begin to see an increase there, and we will certainly need it by then. There is also a constitutional amendment that will be voted on by the voters November 2nd of this year, and that constitutional amendment is supposed to cap ERAF so that the state can't keep messing with this year to year and continuing to threaten local services and raid the funds of local governmental agencies. So they're going to cap it, and we will not get back the $6 million we've lost, and we will continue to pay that annual amount that we're currently paying, that $694,000. But what we will not see is the additional hits like we're going to see this year and for the next 2 years. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel. However, there is some risk in that the legislature needs to approve and have the governor's tentative deal stick, and the voters of this state need to take and approve this ERAF cap for local services and local governmental agencies. Invite him to step to the mic and to explain to you what our conversation was in our meeting earlier this week. And I think he's got some good news for us that will prevent us from having to take the drastic actions that we otherwise would have had to face. Chief Jenkins?
Thank you. Good evening. Director's audience. Yes, I'm just here to reiterate CDF's position that we are still willing to contract with South Bay Fire, with Los Osos CSD. We realize you're going through a period of fiscal instability. We work for the state. That's nothing new to us. All governmental agencies go through this. It looks like you have a sound financial plan. We think that we can easily put together a good proposal. You've seen our drafts there. Model 2 was the proposal that included no new revenue. In other words, Measure G not passing. That proposal included two paid personnel, paramedics on duty every day, a reserve on duty every day, three persons on the engine, and then continuing your existing reserve program. That gives you paramedics on the engine, two paramedics on the engine 90% of the time. And it appears that you still would be able to finance that plan. We would still, as our agreement, would be able to absorb all of your existing full-time staff. Our interest in this project is to make sure that the CSD is got a good level of service, an affordable level of service, efficient level of service, and that the jobs of your current staff are protected. They're valuable resources to this county as well as this community, and we don't want to see them leave. We have vacancies in our organization to absorb them, would welcome them into our organization. At this point, I suppose I could answer questions from the board.
Thank you, Chief. Board, do you have any questions? I've got a couple. Chief Jenkins, you're talking about level of service. Model 2 means that you have one crew, basically, even though you do have two paramedics on it, but you need three. You're going to have three people on the engine. In terms of concurrent simultaneous calls, you'll only be able to answer one, and then the second one would have to be answered with backfill or mutual aid or something.
Yeah, correct. It's a deviation from your current level of service, where most of the time you are able to have an available crew of four. There are occasions when you're down to three. This would be at three persons, two paramedics, captain and engineer, a full-time staff, and then a reserve scheduled 24/7. For concurrent calls, we would respond with a staff of three. If we had a concurrent call, the incident that we were on allowed a single individual to remain behind to manage that incident, then two.
I believe that's in budget Euro 607, 0506 at the end, so they might even go below that. And that represents, I believe, 1 month's worth of operational expense. So we get pretty close there before we start back up.
Very close.
So, in truth, the time is of the essence in terms of moving this along. If, in fact, we want to not lay five firefighters off at this point and still move forward with the CDF contract.
Yes, sir.
And in your opinion, Chief, what's your opinion? Do you think we should pursue the contract negotiations with CDF?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the only viable option. Although Chief Jenkins described that there would be one crew on duty, and for the second call we would have to use other resources, if we were to stand alone, we're absolutely in no better shape. And, in fact, we would only have one paramedic on duty each day rather than two, and hence the difference in the 0405 budget cost. You see they're about $400,000. But we can't do it cheaper than CDF, and they can provide the service. I think that the recommendations that were in my staff report initially need to be discarded and not considered, and I would strongly recommend, as did unanimously both the Emergency Services Committee and the Finance Committee this week, recommended unanimously to the board to proceed with the contracting with CDF. Also, we had mention of declaring the one old fire truck that we have surplus so that we can sell it. They agreed with all of that. But the primary issue here tonight, and I assume that's more a ministerial matter with the fire engine, but the primary issue here tonight, and the single most important issue for continuing acceptable level of service from the fire department in this community, is that we contract with CDF and we do that as rapidly as possible, because we have windows of opportunity that we cannot miss with the State Personnel Board, which is a requirement for our personnel to be transitioned over, as well as budgetary benchmarks that if we dawdle, if we fail to hit the marks, the benchmarks and the times that we need so that this can go, a contract can be implemented no later than October 1st, we are spending money we don't have, and we will ultimately be forced to lay off people then. It may be even all the way down to the level where you have only a volunteer fire department, simply because we do not have the funds that would permit us to take a more timely, leisurely approach to the contracting process. We have to work very hard, and that's what staff certainly is committed to doing. To work very hard with CDF, with our employees, to get all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed and get this accomplished, because we really don't have any other choice.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was asked this afternoon to read a statement into the record from SLOSIA As you know, your board at your last meeting did authorize me to negotiate with both. As previously indicated, employees of the department have significant interest in exploring a transition to CDF, and that's signed Dean Rollins. Also, if I might, Mr. Chair, Mr. President, the Finance Committee on at their meeting yesterday, that was May 19, also recommended, in addition to concurring with emergency services in regard to the transition to CDF and the sale of 5596, they recommended that you place on your agenda for your June 17th meeting an item regarding the possibility of conducting an election on November 2nd to determine if the electorate had an interest in some different fire tax, special tax approval other than the one that was considered by the electorate on May 4th.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. At this time, I'll open it up to public comment, and thank you, Chief Jenkins, if you can kind of wait here in the front row or the wings or wherever. Public comment on this item?
Good evening, Mr. President, directors, staff, audience here and at home. My name is June Wright, a resident of Los Osos. I'd like to address this item as it pertains to planning for emergencies and disasters. I feel in doing such planning, the worst case scenario must be considered. What is that for us? Due to money problems, it's probably going to be necessary to cut personnel. Chief Turner and now Jenkins has assured us that if back-to-back emergencies occur, units from Cayucas or SLO can respond. Last week, coming home from Morro Bay, I was stopped on South Bay Boulevard just past State Park Road. After sitting for 20 or 25 minutes, we were told that it would be up to an hour before the road would be clear. So most of us turned around, headed to Highway 1 over, well, I was afraid that O'Connor wouldn't be open, so I came over Foothill to LOVR. And by that time, it was close to rush hour. And after 15 years of traveling LOVR, I'm all too familiar with tie-ups on that road due to accidents, and the traffic has increased since I first started traveling it. Now, if we have back-to-back calls, is it something that could never happen, that there would be an accident on both South Bay Boulevard and LOVR at the same time? Well, people said we would never have a bad earthquake in SLO County, so we didn't work very hard at retrofitting buildings. And on December 22nd, not planning for the worst-case scenario was very obviously the wrong thing to do. How, if both of those roads are tied up, how does anybody reach us? They couldn't. Now, before somebody leaps to their feet shouting.
As part of the presentation tonight, we saw a list of five people that are potentially going to be laid off that we want to give notices to. I think this is a bad idea. We've heard from CDF that they have positions available for these people. I think it'd be a good idea to hold off, see what comes of that. I noticed when looking at the list, there was four firemen on the list and one part-time administrator. I'd like the people at home to know that the mechanic is not on this list. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the mechanic and how cutting the mechanic could save us some money. Should have been done a long time ago. And it wasn't. It should be done now to save us money in the interim, and it's not being done. I think it's also important for people at home to know that we found out on Tuesday that there's already been a paramedic that's been laid off this week. I'm curious as to why we're talking about We're talking about people that we have to give 30 days notice to. Please don't interrupt me. Please don't interrupt
me. Mr. Sawyer, I can... I have
3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes. Stop the time. But I am the president of this board. Now, when we talk about layoffs, those are personnel matters. And we do not air personnel matters in the public.
Please, then, by all session. Means, don't air personnel matters, but I can discuss personnel all I want.
No, okay. You can't discuss personnel
all
you want.
There's been a paramedic that's been laid off, and I want to know why he's been laid off, because there has been 5 people put on a list that have been that need to be given 30 days notice, and that's why they're on the list. Why are we going through all this process with these 5 people when on Tuesday we can just lay a guy off? Okay? We're cutting. You guys made all this, through this campaign, you made all these concerns about losing paramedics. And now we find out that we can keep these guys, we can keep them working until October the 1st, and we'll have positions for them all through CDF, and you're laying them off, and you're doing it behind closed doors in secret. We're not talking about it. And I found out today that there's possibly a second guy that's gone. So tell us what's going on. And don't talk about specifics if you don't want to. Don't mention names, but tell us why people are being laid off and why they're paramedics. You know, we need to step back. You know, you guys are already talking about another fire tax in November. We don't know anything more now than we knew then. You guys have committed to nothing. You've decided nothing. And you're already talking about another fire tax. We need to make decisions, and we need to move forward, and then we can talk about that when the time is right. It's not right yet. Thank you.
Chief.
I will not mention specific people's names, but as usual, Mr. Sawyer doesn't have the facts. So I'd like to clear up the facts. There was not a paramedic laid off. There was a paramedic that was filling a substitute position that was returned to his previous decision as a resident firefighter paramedic. There is no plans to lay off a second paramedic or any other people. Those are the facts. No one was laid off.
Note here. In terms of the transition MOU being in jeopardy, and I've got, having heard it from Mr. Rollins earlier, and I took it to heart, there are several reasons why laying off members of the fire department would not be a good idea. First, it would reduce the level of service in the meantime. It would put the transition MOU in jeopardy, as Mr. Rollins has stated in his letter, as well as to us in person. And the members of the fire department have served us well. They've done a good job, and this is we have the opportunity to provide for them, even though we don't have the money to keep them all on working for our fire department. We can provide 4 positions for them, and I think that's very important. It's going to get very close because, as I mentioned earlier, we will get down to approximately $133,000 in reserves, and we don't like to be down that close because that's only 1 month of expenses. Now, if we move forward, there's a chance that we can save some of that $97,000, and it's just a question of how fast we can enter into the negotiations and bring those to a head. Of course, we have to see the contract and then analyze that. But I think there are reasons why we would not want to do that. So at this time, any other comment? Or
not this time.
Okay. Vice President Hensley.
I just want to follow up on that and make it clear that what's happening is that we previously had we're facing a situation where it looked like we were going to have to initiate the layoff process, and most of us are more familiar with what the school district does by issuing their pink slips in the spring, and then the teachers don't really know whether they have a job until pretty close to the end of summer sometimes. However, in our case, it's a 30-day notice, and we were contemplating initiating that process. However, and I really want to thank staff and CDF for the effort to pull this together to take a look at the numbers and get their pencils out, and they have indeed figured out a way that it looks like we could make the transition to hang on to the five positions that the chief had previously suggested to us that we issue the notices to. We will have to dip into our savings to carry them through. That's what's going to happen here if we go this direction. That should we terminate them now, they will not be in a position to be transferred, picked up by CDF, because they won't be our employees. So we are this allows us the ability to carry all of our employees forward to that position that they would be available to be taken on by CDF should the contract negotiations work out and we ultimately go that way. So that's kind of where we are. And with that, I believe the first motion you need is that we declare engine 50.
I think what we would recommend is bringing back a contract that your board could approve as early as June 17. Okay. I think the intent is to bring back a contract that you can approve as soon as possible.
All right. And you need that as a motion?
Yes, sir.
Then I will move staff's recommendation.
And I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no.
There's one more motion to be made, isn't there?
Yeah, I would ask you to address the Finance Committee's recommendation regarding a November election.
And you need that in the form of a motion?
Yes, sir.
Then I would move that staff be directed to agendize for June 17 the discussion of a November 2nd election.
I will second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. Hearing no objection, that shall be the motion. Do you need anything relative to the layoffs or do you have direction not to do it?
Mr. President, as staff understands it, we will not proceed with any layoffs at this time. That will be held in abeyance.
And so that takes care of that item. Okay, moving on to item B. Mr. Beal.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an item to approve the process for a selection of a replacement director to fill Frank Freiler's remaining term. At your May 6th board meeting, you did receive Director Freiler's resignation. I read Director Freiler's resignation letter at that time. On May 6th, you also set a special meeting for June 21 at 7 p.m. That is a Monday night. Staff has been able to secure Sunnyside School's auditorium that evening, if that is still your pleasure. We did go over at your May 6th meeting the provisions of law for selection of a replacement. You do have discretion to do this as long as you post the notice of the vacancy in at least three separate places for at least 14 days. This evening, staff is requesting authority to place those notices, to create a form to be used by nominees, and to set a cutoff date for submission of the nominations. We are recommending this evening that you pick Friday, June 11th, as the cutoff date for reception of nominations. This does satisfy the posting window. As a matter of fact, it should provide 21 days of posting, assuming that we are able to post notices tomorrow. But it would clearly satisfy the posting requirements of law. It would also give you 10 days to review applications and for individual directors to talk to nominees prior to the June 21 special meeting. So this is a public hearing. We respectfully request that you receive public input, and following closure of the hearing, we are awaiting direction as to your desires to notice this opening and to set a cutoff.
I think that what you will find is that there will be a meeting. The candidates will give a presentation You will have the opportunity to ask each candidate who fills out the application questions. The audience will give public comment on them, and then it will return to the board for a decision whether or not to appoint any of the candidates that are presented on that evening who have filled out the application.
So it does kind of sound like if we issue this notice, we are heading down that pathway. I think I'd kind of like an intermediate step to discuss whether we even want to go with that process.
Let me just give you, if I might, Mr. President, just a kind of a summary of how the law works and how the procedure works. I think it directly relates to Director Hensley's question. First, you have to start off with Government Code Section 1780 that's in your agenda packet. And Section A of that provides that a person appointed shall hold office until the next general election that is 130 days or more after the effective date of the vacancy, saying that in layman's terms that the only time that a board can appoint a candidate is if the next general election is 130 days further out than the date of the vacancy. That has occurred. The board then has 60 days to appoint to fill the vacancy. If the board doesn't fill the vacancy, then there is a default provision to the Board of Supervisors in which they would have 30 days to fill the vacancy. I believe that if the Board of Supervisors doesn't fill the vacancy within that 30 days, then by default it would go to the next general election. This one just happens to occur to be the November election just by circumstance. So I want the board to understand that that if they don't appoint, that doesn't mean that an appointment will not occur. It just means that another body will have the opportunity to appoint in your stead. Now, they don't have to appoint, but I just want to make sure that the board and the audience understands how the procedure actually works.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Any more board comment? Public comment?
Good evening, Lindy O and Los Osos. I wonder if this is a good time to also address the fact that the Rose Bowker has not been able to make it to meetings due to her to some illness that she's had. If you were to choose potential candidates to fill the position of Frank Freiler, would it not be diligent to also, if by chance Mrs. Bowker isn't able to make it?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Lisa Schicker, and I just wanted to get back to you from the last meeting where we were invited as a Los Osos Technical Task Force member to be asked if we were interested in having a seat on the board. And I talked it over with our group. We had a meeting, and we are definitely interested in being considered for one of the seats if there's more than one, or the seat if there's only one, and would be interested in the procedure. And we would be nominating someone from the group to apply for the board. And so thank you for your consideration. And just for the members of the public at home, we are a group of scientists and engineers who support a responsible wastewater project in Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
Betty Gustafson, Los Osos. And I think you really do need to go ahead and look at appointing someone, because this way the board does have some control. I'm not sure what the county supervisors would come up with. There are times where the board is struggling with issues and there's a division on the board, different concerns. So I think you really need to have the full board, if at all possible.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Mr. Sines?
Yes. Lindy wrote, raised a question I'm sure many people have been thinking about. And I just want the board and the audience to know that ceasing to act on the on a board is, after a three-month period, tantamount to a resignation, except for sickness. So there is no resignation. So I just want the board and the audience to understand there is no resignation upon which to act upon.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Buell.
Staff does intend to place notices of this vacancy at the office, at the fire station, and at the Baywood Pier. We'll also issue a press release in regard to the vacancy, should your board authorize that notice.
And in terms of press release, to all the papers of, that serve the area.
Mm-hmm. And thank to you, electronic media.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. See no further public comment. I'll bring it back to the board. Board comment. Vice President Hensley.
I remain reluctant to go down this path based on the fact that I have no confidence that we can bring forth anything on this board that will not receive intense community opposition.
Director LaCroix.
Be that as it may, I'm more of the opinion that we need to go down that route for two reasons. First of all, if we don't carry through our responsibilities as a board, that responsibility may be taken away from us by the Board of Supervisors, which I think is even a worse situation. Second of all, I think as a board, we've got to look at our ability to function as a board. And third, that we confirm the time, date, and place for the special board meeting, which was
June 21, 7 p.m.
Okay.
Sunday.
That's the June 21. That's my motion.
We have a second.
While I don't believe that the Board of Supervisors would step in and appoint anyone either, I'll reluctantly second that.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a motion and a second, and I'd like to make a comment. I agree with Director LaGrow. I think we have a duty to move forward as a board to solve this problem ourselves, and whether or not the Board of Supervisors wants to appoint someone to our board or not, I'd prefer to do it myself and ourselves. So with that, any further comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no. Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Item C. Adopt the ordinance amending the fiscal year 2004-05 Mission Country Disposal solid waste rates. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your board on May 6 did introduce an ordinance. The ordinance affects a rate increase that would become effective July 1 if this is adopted and staff is authorized to post and publish. As we reviewed this at your last meeting, Mission Country Disposal has proposed a total revenue increase of 9.97% for this last two-year rate period, and their rate increase complies with the provisions of the franchise agreement. The discretion available to your board is to determine how to allocate those costs amongst different users, resulting in the revenue targets that are requested. I have placed on the screen the same description that I provided at your May 6th meeting. The proposed rate design is to hold the current rates constant, to have a 0% increase for low-income customers, one-can customers, which is labeled 19 gallons on the overhead, and for that was a half can, excuse me, and then for the one can customers, that's labeled 32 gallons on the overhead. So those are your current charges, and those would stay the same for next year should this ordinance be adopted. What would change would be the cost for the toucan customers, which is the 64-gallon listing on the rate block, and for three-can customers, which is the 96-gallon rate block on the overhead. Also, commercial and other customers would each go up by the 9.9%, 9.97% above the current rates. Staff this evening is requesting that your board conduct the public hearing, that you then consider adoption of the ordinance by roll call vote.
Any board comment? Public comment on item C? See no public comment. Bring it back to the board. Discussion? Vice President Hensley.
I have no discussion. I'd like to move staff's recommendation.
Second.
Mrs. Vega.
Director Legros.
Yes.
Vice President Hensley.
Yes.
President Gustafson.
Yes. At this time, I'd like to take a five-minute recess to allow members of the public to submit speaker cards for public comment. Comment for items that are not on the agenda. And at this time, we'll start with June Wright, followed by Keith Swanson, followed by Peggy Pavick.
Good evening, President Gustafson, directors, staff, audience here and at home. My name is June Wright, a resident of Los Osos, which sometimes when I'm places where people from other parts of the county are, you say you're from Los Osos, and you have to wait a few seconds while they snicker. However, I am very proud of Los Osos. My faith in this community has been restored. As you know, on May 8th, the post office had a food drive. And the food from Los Osos and Morro Bay was taken to the Salvation Army unit in Morro Bay on Saturday and Sunday. Starting Sunday through Wednesday, the food had to be sorted. It had to be separated according to type of food, put into bins, and taken to our storage facility until needed for use. The total collected was 10 tons of food. And I didn't say pounds, I said tons. Los Osos itself contributed 5.5 tons of food. And that food is sorely needed. Our donations have dropped sharply the last 2 years, so it means we don't have as much money as we once did to buy food. As you can tell, I'm a volunteer. And the need has risen as the economy has worsened, especially for the fishermen in Morro Bay. And I just felt very proud that Los Osos contributed more food than Morro Bay did. So as a Salvation Army volunteer, I'd like to give everybody our heartfelt thanks for your generosity. I'd like to mention one other thing. Saturday at the ranch house, Spooner Ranch House at Montana de Oro, the very talented Pecho players are going to be doing another presentation of living history. It starts at 11 o'clock. They'll be in the parlor. And if you haven't been out to Montana...
Baca versus Moreno Valley Unified School District regarding interruption of public comment and free speech. Thank you.
Peggy Pavick, followed by Cynthia Mulligan, followed by Vivian McNeil.
Peggy Pavick, Los Osos. We just got back from Mexico, and it was interesting. We went to Puerto Vallarta, And as we came into town, we saw a sewer plant. And it was interesting to us because it was on the outskirts of town as you came into it, not in the middle of town. So I was wondering what you folks are going to do about our situation. Hopefully move it. Thank you.
Cynthia Mulligan, followed by Vivi McNeil, followed by Lisa Schicker.
Good evening, Cynthia Mulligan. I know this has been said before. In the summer of 2000 Bear Pride newsletter, the LOCSD is planning to use an advanced ponding system to efficiently treat wastewater, cleanse and recharge the groundwater, and reduce pollution entering Morro Bay and the estuary. Existing septic tanks within the prohibition zone will still be used for primary treatment. The project will provide site drainage, parkland, a botanical garden, 3.7 miles of walking and jogging trails, recreational open space, aesthetic and habitat amenities for the community. Why is the CSD's project better than the county's project? The county proposed to use conventional collection and treatment facilities. Their estimate of $71.5 million would have been greatly exceeded due to initial construction costs, habitat mitigation expenses, hookup cost, and operation and maintenance expenses, shoring, trenching, and road repair, and a number of required items not estimated in their budget. August 3rd, 2000. CSD meeting, agenda item, review wastewater project cost effectiveness report, schedule tour of wastewater facilities, set hearing to consider adoption of report, Steve Clary, Montgomery Watson, presented analysis of possible treatment sites, technologies, collection systems, and options in their agenda packet. Wastewater Committee had reviewed the report at their July 25th meeting and agreed by consensus to recommend a hybrid facility at the Resource Park. Motion to tour the wastewater treatment facility at Pacifica and San Francisco on August 16th, 2000 is unanimously approved. August 16th, 2000, quorum of CSD and Wastewater Committee. Toured at the Pacific Wastewater Facility and Pacifica for 1 hour and the Oceanside Wastewater Treatment Facility at San Francisco for 30 minutes. Mission, explore hybrid technology as an alternative to AI, WPS, MW, Montgomery Watson staff present. Do I have enough time to keep going on?
27 seconds.
7 seconds?
27.
27. Okay. The last of it is everybody out there in the public, I would like to thank them for today for boycotting the gas stations. It is not against the gas station owners themselves, but it's against
concerning Director Balker's health, how prolonged it may be that she needs to step down. I find this very disconcerting. I hope to God that she is not watching any of these meetings because I feel that it could severely affect her recovery, her state of mind, and I would like to see it not see this stopped as public comment. Thank you. Speculation runs rampant. Just keep it quiet. Thanks.
Thank you. Lisa Schicker, followed by Al Barrow, followed by Jim Havelina.
Good evening again. My name is Lisa Schicker. I was just going to briefly talk to the audience and the board who wasn't there at the Regional Water Quality Control Board last week. Stan and Bruce were there, and I think Gordon, you were there too, huh, for a little while. And I just wanted to report on my experiences at the regional board. That was the first time I presented at the board. It was a long 2 days. I tried to express the opinions of the Los Osos Technical Task Force to the Regional Water Board. And they have a kind of different approach and feel than this meeting does here. And they listened. And I had some handouts to give them that explained our position about wanting a responsible wastewater project, but not the one we have before us now. And they asked a few questions, but they waited till I left the room before they asked the hard questions. And that was most disappointing to me because I was there and waiting and available for questions, and they didn't ask the questions while I was there. So I just, if anyone's interested from the public, I have the handouts here tonight again. They're called Follow the Water, and some opinions from the, and some facts found from the Los Osos Technical Task Force about the wastewater project and why it should be moved. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Al Barrow, followed by Jim Havelina.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, horses and fleas. How are you tonight? I'd like to make one comment about civility. The sheriff stopped by my house Saturday morning, and I asked him what he wanted. He said he wanted the district's sandwich board signs, which were used during the LOCAC election. And I had picked up three signs, and I suppose that it turns out that one of them was the district's. So I want you guys to know, if you ever have a problem, just call 534-0800. You don't need to waste the sheriff's time. I didn't steal the signs. I am on the election board, and I actually made the signs. Request that all of you that are in the decision-making at the Wastewater Committee and board members, keep an open mind to alternatives and options that you have now for wastewater treatment. There are a lot of options that are on the table, including location and treatment and a better disposal program. Most of the environmental people in the community do not want to see wastewater going into the bay or groundwater going into the bay, which was one of the purposes of the project. So if you would keep an open mind, hopefully when we have a comparative analysis, some of these better options will emerge. Thank you very much.
Jim Havelina.
Good evening. My name is Jim Havelina, resident of Los Osos, and I am here to announce the Tri-County's blood drive for the community. It'll be tomorrow. It will be in the bus in front of Mid-State Bank here in town. And who can donate? Anyone who is 17 years of age. There is no upper limit on age. You have to weigh at least 110 pounds and be in good health on that day and be off antibiotics for at least 24 hours. How long does it take? Less than an hour from registration through refreshments. Actual blood donation time is about 8 to 10 minutes. And how do you sign up? They prefer an appointment time rather than just showing up, and you can pick your time. Available times are 10:30 to 3 o'clock. Appointment times are every 15 minutes, and you can phone Peggy Zatt at Mid-State Bank, 528-1211, to set a time to give blood, and let's have a successful blood drive tomorrow here in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. We have an additional speaker card, Steve Sawyer.
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos. I wasn't going to speak tonight, but after Albero got up, I can't resist. Just a little history on that sign that he picked up. That was the same sign that the county collected when they went around and picked up all the No on Fire Tax signs. And that sign was put out in front of my shop on 9th Street. People in LOCAC were notified that it was there. And Al Barrow came by shortly after the election, as per required by county code. 10 days after an election, all signs need to be removed. And he picked up that sign along with a few others. So it's interesting that signs had a pretty good history and a nice trip around the county. And I think it's a little silly that the sheriff went over there. Everybody knew where that sign was. Thank you.
Yeah, we take a recess for 5 minutes in order to get the speaker cards in. I can see a pattern about at the end of public comment where we get additional.
CSD elected. Several of you are on here, and the promises were definitely to fight the county's mechanical sewer, which we did not want to have. It's not in our LOCAC vision statement. It is something that is going to be a problem forever. And my question is, I see this board fighting to save that location when you know that the community and the Coastal Commission have seen much better potential by considering it outside of town. I think at any cost, you need to move forward with those studies. I know that you say that you're going to, but what I see in action is not that. And lastly, I wanted to speak about the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting also. I didn't get a chance to go, but I did watch the rerun on television. And I wanted to point out that the board definitely thinks that we should put a septic management program together in Los Osos. And I was very let down that Mr. Bruce Buell, our manager, stood up and said that we did have a septic management program in place and that we would begin implementing it soon. Well, he did not tell them the entire truth, because that septic management plan is only for properties outside of the prohibition zone. What is needed is the area that you consider to be the polluters. They need a septic management program. I saw so much, lack of education completely from the regional board members and several of the different people that spoke about how a septic tank works and what doing a maintenance on it and keeping it running correctly has the potential to do. That, combined with lowering our upper aquifer water, should have been implemented 15 years ago. It was mandated in 1983. Will we ever do it? I don't know. It's up to you. You take the lead for it. The regional board thinks we're doing it already. You know, Mr. Buell was slightly deceptive at telling him that it was the ones that are the polluters that were going to be getting a program put together, but I'd be very glad to help with the program. I tried to get on the committee that was working on it, was not allowed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buell, would you like to comment on the effectiveness of the septic tank management program for septic tanks that are sitting in, or leach fields for that matter, sitting in groundwater?
Thank you, Mr. President. Septic tanks, on their own right, remove solids, but the discharge that comes out of the septic tank exceeds the state drinking water standard for nitrates by 5 to 7 times. So septic tanks do not remove nitrates, and where there is no vadose zone, no unsaturated soil beneath the septic tank, that highly concentrated pollutant is being discharged directly into the groundwater. What I told the regional board on Friday of last week is, A, there's a bill pending in the legislature that would enable the district to implement a septic system management program, and B, that we are working on it. I would invite any party that's interested to attend the wastewater committee next Tuesday, May 25th at 7 p.m. at the district office. Regional board directed staff to report back with a series of enforcement options, one of which is a septic management pumping program whereby all property owners would be required to pump their septic systems up to twice a week to prevent pollution from entering the groundwater basin. Also, the regional board directed staff to look at other options, including a wide variety of enforcement actions, cease and desist orders against private properties and community systems.
And Was there a time by which the staff was supposed to report back?
They didn't set a specific date, but they made it clear they wanted it brought back as soon as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Julie Tacker.
Julie Tacker, forgive me for being late this evening. I just attended the Los Osos Middle School open house. It was quite delightful to see a lot of kids and all their good works. I watched that meeting that you're discussing, the regional board meeting of last Friday. I don't believe there was any interval of 1 to 2 or more times per week a tank would have to be pumped. I think that they asked staff to look at possibilities. We'll all have to wait and see what they come up with, because I think enforcing will be difficult. They're just as short-handed as any other government agency. Septic tanks do not address the nitrates. I think everyone in this room is very well aware of that. I think our concerns are the other pollutants that your sewer system will not be addressing. I did watch that meeting, and there was a discussion about where the water will go during construction. The harvested water from construction, you have high groundwater, you're going to be digging ditches, there will be water that has to be pumped out of those ditches and go somewhere. Ms. Marks commented on a possibility of that water going to the bay. She said actually that there was a triage of options, and I'm not familiar with the triage of options for construction harvest water. I find the word triage a poor choice of words. I think that means there's some sort of emergency, and I hope we're never in an emergency that puts polluted water from your project into the bay. There are options outlined in your project for harvested water after the wastewater project is online. One of those options that was once human waste.
Mr. Buell, as Cal City's blending at this time, and in terms of there were several questions that were raised on that point. Blending, certainly we've had this discussion before, is a last resort in terms of what our options are. But my understanding is that Cal Cities is doing some blending at this time. Is that not true?
Yes, Cal Cities is doing some blending at Los Olivos. There's a question of how much of that is upper and how much is second layer, but clearly, they have an approved blending plan with Department of Health Services, and they are blending upper and lower basin water.
And as it stands right now, we are emitting in excess of 1 million gallons a day through our septic tanks into the upper aquifer. Does any of that polluted water make its way into the bay at this time?
Well, yeah, the majority of that water, if you look at the groundwater basin, that water does move down slope, and it does enter either the bay or the ocean in its subsurface form or in seeps, and that has been confirmed with the DNA testing.
Thank you. Bruce Payne.
Good evening, Mr. President, board, staff, members of the public here and at home. I never heard anything so absurd as pumping a septic tank twice a week. I think The septic tank management plan that's been proposed for the area outside of town was something like 5 to 7 years. We could go back into how much capacity you planned on the wastewater treatment plant to handle septage, and it was certainly not anything like twice a week for pumping everybody's tank outside of the prohibition zone. So I really take offense to something as absurd as what Mr. Buell had to say about, I guess it was supposed to be the Water Quality Control Board that said we'd have to pump them every 2 weeks or twice a week. I'd like an answer to that. Would that be okay? The other thing I want to say is on this thing you sent out here a while back, what kind of buildings you wanted to house the pump stations and all that in. What was the percentage of return you got on those filled out and sent back to you? Was there any track kept of that? And what kind of a percentage do you think you'd get if you sent a pamphlet not near as extreme as this, quite in one page would do? What would you rather have, a sewer plant, wastewater treatment plant on the Tri-W site or some?
Whether the regional board would institute or whether it's feasible to institute such a program, I have no idea. I just know that what the regional board directed their staff to do is to report back on enforcement options as to what could be done prior to the construction of a wastewater project to minimize the discharge of pollutants into the groundwater basin. In regard to the survey that the district did in 2003 for the design of facilities, I believe we got a 15 to 20% return on those survey forms.
Thank you. Vice President Hensley.
I just want to concur with Mr. Buell. I was there when Mr. Briggs was covering that, and he's portrayed it accurately that Mr. Briggs did indeed say, based on the gallons that a septic tank holds and how quickly it would fill up, that if you were to pursue that as an alternative to installing a sewer system, that's what he was talking. He wasn't talking about something about the septic tank maintenance district that we have conceived of once the plant is there. He was talking about the discussion had to do with what can we do now. And they said, well, one alternative is we could pump the septic tanks. How much would you have to do that? Roughly figuring, just kind of talking off the tops of their heads based on how big a septic tank is, gee, that would require something like pumping it once or twice a week. They were not pursuing that as an alternative. They were just discussing it. At the conclusion to that, Mr. Buell is correct. The direction was given to staff to look at what alternatives there are available to the board. So let's not get all wound up about what the board said or did. They're just talking about what their alternatives are. We'll hear about where they go with this in the future.
And I think the point that Mr. Buell is making is we do have a bill winning its way through the legislature right now, and that may or may not provide, as we originally envisioned it, it would be a septic tank maintenance district for those septic tanks that would not be hooked up, the houses that would not be hooked up to the sewer system, and we would maintain this maintenance plan on those septic tanks. Now, whether the regional board wants us to do something more than that is something else, but we have to have the ability to do that. Mr. Buell.
The actual language of Assembly Bill 2506 is for the implementation of a septic system management program for areas in Los Osos that are not collected by a sewer.
Right. Tom Salmon.
Good evening. Tom Salmon, Baybet Park. How you doing tonight, Stan? First of all, I guess I'm going to bring something different to the table right now. 5 years ago, this country was starting to go down the bad road of a recession. We changed. That's $20 million, folks. That's $250 a year for the next forever. And we haven't moved a shovel full of dirt. According to everything I'm seeing now, it's very possible we may never move a shovel full of dirt in the middle of town. But yet we still have this $20 million debt hanging over our kids and some folks' grandkids. Last meeting, the fire tax came about and we failed. We did not pass it. It needed an additional 1,900 people in the community to vote for it. We didn't get it. I'm asking you tonight to reevaluate the horrible financial situation this community now faces. We don't know if we'll ever get out of this hole, but if we start cutting back now, we can salvage some of it. I know that $20 million debt, we did buy Tri-W, and it'd be a great place for the park if the Coastal Commission never gives us a permit. We have the property of Broderson, we'll keep it a greenbelt. So these are not total losses. But we have $15 million that we've given to other people that we need to get back. I propose tonight that we go down the road and look to sue Montgomery Watson Harza, Crawford Moultrie Clark, John Wallace and Associates, Seitz and Shipley, all the agencies that have led us down this road, that have given us bad advice, that have taken sole source bids because we thought they were our friends and would do a good job. This is my responsibility, and it's your responsibility to face these tough tasks. You and I are fiscally conservative individuals. This is the time that we stand up for the rest of the community. Let's do it before it's too late. Thank you.
See no additional public comment. Go on to the administrative and committee reports. And in the oral reports, receive a report from LOCAC. Report from District Legal Counsel, Mr. Seitz.
I have nothing to report.
Reports, quotes from letters received.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to read a letter from the State Water Resources Control Board. It's signed by the Executive Director, Celeste Cantu, and it's dated May 12th. It's addressed to Peter Douglas, the Executive Director of the California Coastal Commission. Dear Mr. Douglas, I am writing on behalf of the State Water Resources Control Board to express our great disappointment with a recent decision of the California Coastal Commission not to approve the Los Osos Community Service District's project to provide basic sanitation by constructing a wastewater treatment plant and sewer system. As you know, the community of Los Osos has been treating its sewage entirely with septic systems and seepage pits throughout its entire history. These practices degrade public health and water quality in a sensitive area of our coast and should be a tremendous concern to anyone, particularly an agency entrusted with protecting the environment, and to withhold its approval and to schedule hearings. You have indicated these hearings will not take place for 6 to 12 months, and then only after the Community Services District performs extensive reanalysis of issues which the Commission already considered in its 2002 approval of the Local Coastal Plan Amendment. It is entirely that this delay may have the effect of killing the project. Funding for the project is set to expire soon, and the State Water Resources Control Board may not be able to reapprove the loan given the circumstances presently surrounding the project. Given the state's fiscal climate and the State Water Resources Control Board's loan program are greatly oversubscribed. Additional costs imposed by the Commission on the Community Services District will divert revenue necessary for planning and building the project to unnecessary and duplicative studies. I and my staff, as well as the regional board and its staff, stand ready to work with you to arrive at a successful conclusion up to this matter. We ask that we meet quickly to find a way to address your concern so that the project can get underway. I do want to also report that the State Board did have a joint meeting with the Coastal Commission a week ago, Wednesday. That was Thursday, May 13, in San Rafael. There was a very healthy exchange between the commissioners and the board member that attended, and there was agreement that they would try to expedite the process, although I am sad to report that as of this date, we have yet to receive the letter from the Coastal Commission detailing the studies that the commission staff desire from the community.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Response to editorials, letters of the editor.
I have none at this time, Mr. President.
Vice President Hensley.
Mr. Buell, back to your report. You've included a memo in your note to us.
Yes, sir, and I had expected to review that under item 1F.
Thank you.
That's the progress report.
Thank you.
Mr. Boykin.
Good evening, Mr. President, board, staff, audience. Sam Boykin, Solid Waste Coordinator. Our second event is coming up for this year, June 26th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is called the Summer Shipping Day. On this, you only have it one day during the summer, June 26th, Saturday, June 26th. We're requesting volunteers again. However, we're requesting volunteers to have a pickup truck and trailer or trailer and a boat. We're going to get one truck from the utility department and a trailer from the utility department. I will furnish two trucks and I get two trailers. We limited pickups to 50 callers, the first 50 callers. Day. And just too much. I mean, they was tired and I was tired and I was tired for them also. If you're willing to volunteer to pick limbs, branches up from residents, please give me a call at 528-9435. That's my direct line, 528-9435. And let me know that you are willing and able to volunteer. Even just one load, that'll be help. Again, we ask for no stumps, no palm or yucca trees. Even with having rain or shine, trees should be up to 6 inches in diameter, 15 feet wide, 15 feet long, and 5 feet high. And we ask you to limit your load to one truck load per customer. That's all we'll be able to pick up. Branches cannot be thicker than 6 inches in diameter. Material must be clean, yard waste only, tree limb, brush, etc. No metals, no nails, no barbed wire, no garbage, no rocks. Grass vines, grass are not allowed. Vines are not allowed. Piles or leaves are not allowed. Beautiful bushes and other light, non-chipping material. Processed lumber is also not allowed. If you call for a pickup, all material must be on the curb by 8 a.m. on Saturday, June 26th. Like I say, if you need a pickup, give me a call, 528-9435. We'll try our best to accommodate you. Now, the roll-off bin for the chips will be left at the site until Tuesday, June 29th, until 1 p.m. For you to get as much and as many trips, free trips as you desire. Entertain any questions, please.
Thank you, Mr. Boykin.
Well, by the way, Stan, happy belated birthday. The 2 weeks tomorrow.
Thank you. Now we're the same age, right? Right. Item 1F.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the progress report on the wastewater project activities. I have submitted a memo in your board packet outlining the various actions that we've been taking since your April 27th town hall meeting. As I mentioned a minute ago, we're somewhat handicapped by not getting the Coastal Commission letter. We have submitted several requests. We would very much like to respond and honor the Commission's directives, but it is difficult without getting the roadmap that was promised to us. I'm available to answer questions on
this with a little bit of information, if I could have a little leeway here. Our office was asked to look at the a couple properties commonly known as the Andre property. It's actually two properties, and I'll show you a map in a second. And the question was pertaining to the high-voltage power lines that run over the property. For those people in the community who are familiar with the Andre property, it has two sets of PG&E towers that run through the property. And what the district did and provided to our office was they got what's called a preliminary title report on the Andre property. This is the 32-acre property that's been in discussion for some time. And what a preliminary title report does is it identifies all the documents that were recorded against a property. And what commonly comes up are things like easements on a property, an easement basically being for the community, an encumbrance or a right that somebody else has to use your property. And, you know, it was known that PG&E would have an easement on this property. And so the actual language within that easement is something that we were asked to look at. Now, we're not attorneys, but certainly we have surveying staff, folks who understand property and can speak to areas and legal descriptions, that sort of thing. So we were provided a copy of the preliminary title report. We asked that some copies would be made, and I believe that on the back table you'll see a package for members of the community that's basically a copy of the preliminary title report on the back table there for the Andre property. And so what we did is we took a look at one of the deeds that were recorded on that property, and that deed provided some of the detailed easement language that would potentially affect the developability of that property for a project. And what we've done is we did not have time to produce a computer-generated, fancy-looking map, but I did have time to do a hand sketch, and I made an overhead of that today. We can talk through this a little bit. Okay. Basically, in the darker outline, somewhat of a yellow, it's yellow to me, you have the outline of what's commonly known as the Andre property. This is the 32 plus or minus acres known as the Andre property. Now, it's worth noting that this triangular piece here is also owned by the Andre family, although it is a separate piece of land. But with respect to the larger piece, again, that's commonly known as the Andre property, what we did is we took the language in the easement that you have there on the back table. It has a legal description that has meets and bounds as to marching around that easement. And we compared that to the property itself. Back, I counted maybe 18 pages. you'll find the beginning of the deed that speaks to this easement. And again, this easement is contains certain rights that PG&E has within the area, that area being this 30 acres out of the 32 acres. And again, not pretending to be an attorney, but reading some of the language, it's quite restrictive in terms of what can be done on the property. Some of the specific language, and maybe I'll just read a few specific items, that the owner basically shall not erect or construct any building or other structure or drill or operate any well or construct any reservoir or other obstruction or add to the ground level in said strip of land. And again, when they talk about said strip of land, they're talking about this is if you go to this is page 5 of the deed. Yeah, in the lower right hand corner, it'll say volume 1712, page 5. Lower right-hand corner, volume 1712, page 5. Again, this is towards the very end of the package that you have there. And I'll give the community a second. It's the same page that has the signature block on it. Going on, it would again, the second party or the current owner shall not deposit or permit or allow to be deposited earth, rubbish, debris, and so forth. And then the community members can read the remainder of that document. So essentially, from an engineering point of view, the only information we're providing tonight is to say that that language applies to, for this particular property, much of the property, with the exception of about a 1.8-acre triangle in the corner. Again, we can certainly come back with a more detailed map. This is a sketch that we were able to assemble quickly to present here tonight, and be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question.
Director LeCroix?
The two-acre piece on the northwestern corner that you called out was not within the easement area. Approximately what are the dimensions of it, and could that be used for building of any type?
Okay. It's about, again, 1.8 acres, and I believe it was maybe 50 feet at the height of the triangle. I don't have the exact dimensions here. We can provide that to you. I could scale it off while I'm sitting down here and come back to the board with it. But I believe this piece would be too small to provide a facility, that 1.8 acres on that particular property.
I seem to recall it's kind of wet out there, isn't it? Or
there is a portion of that 1.8 acres that falls within the marshy area towards the bottom of that slope, yeah.
It's a wetland. It's a wetland.
Yeah.
What happens? What are we doing? What's our next step in analyzing this property?
Well, I suppose John might be able to chime in a little bit as far as the legal perspective. You know, you could further discuss, even with PG&E, the language in the easement. We have reviewed a fair amount of easement documents in our time, and it does appear to be very restrictive for development within the easement area. So in terms of this property, I think it would be unlikely that you'd be able to erect any structures within the easement. But again, you could further discuss this with PG&E, I suppose. It would be one possible path.
This is certainly different than we've been led to believe about the use of this property. Mrs. Andre was here a meeting or so ago, and we didn't hear about an easement. And how much of the triangle on the right? How big is that? The larger.
Oh, this.
If I understood you correctly,
this piece.
That the entire piece of property is what we've been referring to as the Andre property.
Well, I've heard the word, the number 32 acres, I think, in the public discourse. So I think folks are normally referring to the larger parcel, and maybe we're unaware that there is a triangular piece that is also owned by the Andres. We haven't run out the legal on that property to give you a precise area tonight. We can come up with a rough estimate while I'm sitting here, but some of the committee members might know.
Mr. Miller, isn't that triangular piece, or trapezoid, whichever?
Trapezoid.
It appears to be landlocked unless you can get some, go across the and use the easement area. I mean, you don't have access to Los Osos Valley Road, do you?
Are you talking about this piece?
Yeah. No, the inner piece there, the piece to the west of that.
Yeah.
One that has a base of 300 feet, 325 feet.
Yeah.
No, not that piece. The piece to the right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there. It does have access to Los Osos Valley Road there.
But the base of that's 300 feet, right?
325. Yeah.
And it. Kind of thins down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just for clarity, I'm not sure I understood exactly what you said in the beginning. I thought you were saying that the piece what we've been referring to as the Andre property.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that what you said initially was the little triangle or trapezoid or whatever, and what you've outlined in yellow. Is that not correct? The 30 something acres that we've been talking about is only what's outlined
that.
In the yellow.
Yeah, let me restate that.
All right.
The portion that's outlined in yellow is the 32 acres.
All right.
And that is the Andre Priest that we've always been referring to
in all
the documentation.
Yes.
And so when we read through the deed restriction issues, they're referring to that entire 32 plus acre strip.
The deed restriction, which the folks are looking at the actual language that's on page 5, volume 1712, item A, I think is what you're referring to.
Now, I have a question about the adjacent piece, which is not the Andre property, but an adjacent piece. I can't seem to recall, but there are certain setback requirements for any sort of structures or in particular, a wastewater treatment facility and ag lands. And I seem to recall the setback requirements are 100 feet from the nearest property line. And it seems to me that there'd be some difficulty putting a project of any type on a project that has, at the widest point, is 325 feet. If these setback, what can we do to verify the setback requirements? Because that determines even if this piece is...
We could certainly discuss that with the County Planning Department, who would be readily aware of those setbacks. That could certainly be discussed, absolutely.
Mr. Miller, are you aware of any seismic activity just across the road, Los Osos Valley Road, from the Andre site, I believe in like January of this year?
No, I don't pretend to be a seismologist, but from what I've heard, again, this is in the general discussion in the community, that there was an epicenter located somewhere in that vicinity.
And the epicenter, I believe, was on the south side of Los Osos Valley Road, almost across where this Andre site is, and very closely related to Los Osos Valley Road. Director McGraw?
Has this information been forwarded to Coastal Commission staff?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, this is literally, we were provided this preliminary title report late last week and reviewed it early this week. So,
in your opinion, when will we get a more definitive description of this easement from PG&E attorneys?
We think we'll have mapping from PG&E that shows their version of the routing of their transmission facilities. I mean, the language is... Certainly, this is all the language that's pertinent to the easement. It's in the document. As to further interpretation of that, that would get into, in my mind, the legal realm to understand the practical application.
And Mr. Seitz, I've taken you've read this easement language.
I was going to start off with I'm not an engineer. yes, I actually have read the easement. Rob has pointed out to me the most relevant language that's in the easement that represents a prohibition to the plant. There is, if people that are watching or reading along with me, I'm on page 2 of that same document that Rob, there's a little bit more further restrictive language that when you take a look at this, the way I read it, the first party is PG&E. So if I'm at the very bottom paragraph, the first party reserves area, and what Rob had read to you is what the Andres are restricted to do on the property. And I think that's more or less to preserve this language that's on page 2. So there are significant prohibitions to the use of the Andre property with these types of with this type of easement language.
Well, and what they've got there is power lines that they're not likely to move. I mean, this is not something that's able to be moved readily. And if we're looking at
this, I think Rob has pointed out, and I think a member of the audience has also pointed out that these are high voltage power lines. These are not, I think this is the type of language you would find typically associated with easements for that type of construction. So I don't believe that this language would be uncommon for these types of lines. And so.
Director McGraw?
The reason I asked earlier if the Coastal Commission has been told of this is that part of the directions we've been receiving from them is to relook Tri-W versus Andre. And I can't help but wonder if this information was before them, if it is as restrictive as the deed easements are saying, is we can't even go to Andre. So at what point can we get something off to the California Coastal Commission to address this issue?
Mr. Beal.
We could mail a letter tomorrow. I had wanted to package up all of the evaluations, but if your board wants this to go early, I'd be happy to transmit it.
How long are we talking about in terms of putting the package together, as you say?
Well, I can write the letter tomorrow we've been doing archaeological work, biological work, wetlands work, seismic work. All of those bits and pieces would probably require another month or so to perfect that.
It's worth it.
Okay. I think Vice President Hensley.
I would suggest, since we've had discussions with the commission, we're waiting for their letter. There is the issue of our state revolving money. I would suggest that we fax this tomorrow with an outline of the additional work that's going on. When will we receive some kind of report back on the archaeology, biology, wetlands, geological work?
Well, the drop dead date was June 2, so that it's about 2 weeks away.
Okay. I think we should get this to them right away. I have a question about the easement being over this and why this didn't surface in the alternatives analysis.
Where we were looking more in depth into Andre in terms of those easements.
Yeah, I would having worked on EIRs at that alternatives analysis. In some ways, I'm not surprised that a title search wouldn't have been done at that phase, you really wouldn't start getting into that until you were really looking at purchasing the property. However, there is some comfort in hearing that at least the Wastewater Committee recognized that should you head down there that you would have to address that easement issue.
Mr. Buell.
Well, I agree with Director LeGros. I remember discussing it. I remember questioning effectively what were the use restrictions, but for better or worse, we never got into the nitty-gritty at that time.
Well, I also remember that we were talking about crossing Los Osos Creek and how the county evaluated that and the problems that were inherent in that. And which is why I also want to, as part of the process, the letter is the seismic conditions there, because you're still crossing the creek and you've got a known fault there because there was an earthquake there 3 months ago, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. So whatever, there can be any mitigation on that, I don't know. But the point is, you have some concerns. I certainly have some concerns relative to those items. So I think that should also be included in any letter that gets sent to the Coastal Commission. I would agree with Vice President Hensley and Director LeGros relative to getting this information in front of the Coastal Commission at the earliest opportunity. I think that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, do you need something more in direction than that?
No, and legal counsel has already advised me that we've greatly exceeded the scope of this agenda item. Certainly there's no action being requested.
Thank you. Before we leave this, I had wanted to come back to this. This was not the issue that I thought we were going to be talking about, but and you touched on it earlier, that there's been some confusion about whether or not we are looking at Andre, whether we're seriously evaluating it, et cetera. And your memo indicates that we are following up on the direction of the Coastal Commission as we understand it, to evaluate the Andre property. And we have set our consultants to work to look at, as you outlined, the archaeological, the biological, potential wetlands, and the seismic issues. Are we looking at anything else?
The creek crossing that President Gustafson has spoke to, and we had started some engineering to provide at least a rough order of magnitude of the cost of building a treatment facility. We've suspended that pending the outcome of this dialogue.
One last thing. Has staff directed consultants to review the ability to get utility lines out there, i.e. easements, if they're available to even develop onto it?
Yes. We are pursuing that as well.
Okay, thank you.
And we are seeking
to report on wastewater project activities. And in my memo dated May 11th in your board packet, item 2 is to prepare cash flow analysis without the state revolving fund loan. I've done some preliminary scenarios. It is apparent that that if your board doesn't have the state revolving fund loan, that it's going to dramatically add time and cost to the community to build any project, regardless of the location. If you do not get a permit for the Tri-W property, I also believe that your cost and your time will be dramatically greater, regardless of whether you sell the current properties you own or not.
Thank you. With respect to the, did you take a look at the grants as part of this? No, I don't see it as part of that, so we'll get to that at some other point. Any other questions? Oh, do you have any more on the Regional Water Board meeting on Friday? I know we've touched on that several times.
We're awaiting their staff write-up, and we will alert your board as soon as we know more. But right now, I think I've covered everything that I heard from that session.
OK. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Buell. Okay, before we go into any other board comments on this, before we go into public comments on the consent calendar, are there any directors that want to pull an item off the consent calendar? And I want to pull item 12. Okay, at this time, we'll take public comment on the consent calendar and on the administrative and committee reports.
Except item 12.
Except item 12 at this time. Any public comment on these items?
Good evening. My name is John Fouché. I live in Los Osos. I would like to speak to the last item that we're just discussing. I'm sitting at home watching this on TV, and I just can't believe what I'm hearing. Easements can be rewritten. Towers can be moved. For $100,000 a piece, you can move on this high, or 12 kV, Rob, towers. And you guys are, you're sitting here like it's a orchestrated, I can't believe what you guys are doing. I can't believe you're representing this town. The seismic considerations for anything. We live in a Zone 4 seismic area in California. Everything is built to Zone 4 code, no matter what it is. If you're hanging pipes, if you're going across a creek, you can hang the pipes on the bridge. You build them this way with the side. It's just common. I mean, we build that every. We have to build it. We're Zone 4 California. It doesn't matter what fault you're talking about. The fault that you're talking about, the possibility of a fault at the Andre site is places outside of town besides Andre. And you're making this argument to keep this Tri-W site when there's other options. We have options. How can anybody decide to build a sewer plant in the middle of a town when you have options? Andre is not the only option that we have. Easements can be rewritten. There's power, 12 kV. There's power lines right beside Embassy Suites in San Luis Obispo. They're building the Delidio property out there around another 12 kV tower line, right beside 101. It can be done. It's not like it's a fatal flaw. It happens all the time. These lines are moved. I called PG&E just a month ago to see about moving that one beside 101 because that's what I do. They can be moved for $100,000 a piece. To say that you're going to write a letter tomorrow, and I was leaving the house. Well, I'm not sure what the final answer was for that. Tomorrow to...
Please.
To argue this point or send this to the commission boggles my mind.
John, John.
That's enough.
Before you
leave. That's quite enough back there.
Before you leave, you were probably on the way over. We weren't deciding anything. We've given some direction to look into it, to ask PG&E what their position is and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, we haven't gone there yet. We're still finding out about it. However, the direction we were given from the Coastal Commission was to evaluate Tri-W and Andre. All of the other sites in the universe are not on the table.
No, please. This is not discussion time back and forth. And Mr. Miller, please, in the back, please. Mr. Miller. Thank you, Petey.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen.
For your interruptions. Mr. Miller.
I was hoping John would hang with me. From the community standpoint, I think it's important that, my intent was to accurately characterize, and I believe we did that, what the current disposition of the property is. I intentionally measured our language so as to not preclude further discussions with PG&E. The task we were given is to outline the legal description of an easement, and we did that. We certainly looked at the language present within the easement and what that language potentially means, but didn't come to any specific conclusions, particularly not from an engineering standpoint. So that may not help, John, but I wanted to throw that out there.
And in terms of the seismic activity there, I'm not sure whether you heard, but the USGS has a map that shows... That's,
you should have just taken it and focused on what he was presenting instead of trying to... You're trying to derogate this site. You haven't received a letter from this from the Coastal Commission, so you have no direction on what to do. There's also eminent domain. It doesn't have to be this property. You could move it over if you wanted to. Code of Civil Code Procedure 1240.125 addresses that a public entity can go ahead outside of their boundaries in eminent domain for a sewer. Eminent domain also addresses deed restrictions. Mr. Seitz could probably address that. The problem here is this is a diversion. The Tri-W site is what's at issue, and you haven't got a permit for it. The Andre site was something you guys put to the top of your list, and it's false. You didn't look into it. And that's why Andre was talked about. But there are other sites that were also indicated in the EIR. And it's never been explained to how it was preferred. This title right here should have told you it's out of the question. It's irresponsible of the CSD to even put it as a consideration when it wasn't, you say, now, or there's some indication it's not even plausible. And I agree with John what he said about, go to Margarita in South Hygira. That street has power lines right through the middle of it, and there's houses on both sides of it. It's unbelievable. You know, and the thing is you guys have the power to take any land you want if you need it. My issue, I don't want it here. So if, Andre, you don't want to work that out, the Coastal Commission say that this is out of the question. You need to find something else, and that may be what may come down here. Thank you.
I've heard a lot of weak arguments. But tonight, this took the cake. My name is Al Barrow. I've been to almost every meeting the CSD's had, and I cannot believe what you are proposing. In your desperation to save the Tri-W site, this document is dated, I believe, February 26, 1973. Would somebody please tell me if I'm wrong? It's over 32 years old. There are a number of statements in here that Rob failed to read. One of them would be, in the opinion of the first party, a hazard to said tower, poles, or other structure, wires or cables. Guess any easement or easements on, under, or over the strip of land without the written consent of the first party shall be consent to unreasonable withheld.
At what page?
I beg your pardon?
What page are you on?
That's number 5. It also points out in here that reasonable language is included in the document. I was also in shabby and shallow. I'm insulted that I'm even here. And I'm ashamed of you.
Al.
Would you like to have a discussion with me?
I don't really want to get into the seismic thing, but I would point out that this is the same company that has a nuclear power plant on a fault.
Yeah, and maybe they didn't know it was there when they built the power lines. Next. Al. Mr. Payne.
My name is Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos.
one more outburst, and I'll get the sheriff here. Mr. Payne.
Thank you. Mr. President, board, members of the staff, president, people at home. This can't cross the creek thing, I've wasted my breath numerous times explaining to you and Supervisor Bianchi that Morro Bay crosses two creeks. They go over one and under the other. Atascadero crossed the creek, not a creek. It crosses the Salinas River. Paso Robles crosses the Salinas River. The only stipulation in crossing a flowing body of water is that you have the pipe contained in another pipe so that you can check it periodically to see if it's leaking and thereby replace it. So, as far as whatever site is chosen other than the Tri-W site that may have to cross a creek, there is no problem in crossing a creek or a river. The only thing is it has to be contained in two pipes. I don't want to have to explain this to you again. It's done all over the state, all over the country. And as far as the earthquake goes, there was an earthquake before the six-point thing that shook this little village here. Myself and a couple other people called in the radio about it, so I know I'm not the only one that felt that. And the U.S. Geological Survey didn't have a thing on their map about that, so you figure it out.
Next.
Hello, my name is Steve Sennett, Los Angeles resident, and my professional area of expertise is encroachment permits. I issue encroachment permits for the state of California. Okay. I permitted many installations of utilities, high risk, low risk, sewer, water, over many bridges, the cross creeks, freeways, and other things. So it's a common thing. It can be done. I've never known of an incident of failure, although there are some. They're in case, and provisions are made to allow for the safe crossing of those facilities.
Excuse me, Mr. Senate, please. Excuse me a second.
Sure.
Please.
The issue with the easement on the Andres side, I also have been right-of-way engineer, and also in dealing with permits, I have extensive experience with dealing with easements. What the state does is we often take right-of-way where utilities exist, and we enter into either we relocate them or enter into a consent to common use or joint use agreement, and it accommodates both needs of the utility and whatever facility, our highway facility. In our case with the sewer, with the plant, we could operate simultaneously in the same easement. And so long as one facility didn't interrupt the operation of the other, they could coexist. And you see it throughout the state. These people are right. Electrical lines, gas lines, telephone, everything. It's all in the right-of-way. And these things can coexist. And the fact that there is an easement on the property, that burden of the easement makes the property maybe more desirable because it's encumbered and it's a little bit cheaper. So I think it's feasible, and it would be desirable to investigate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. It's quite obvious that you don't want Andre to be able to be used as a site. So you were going to do eminent domain to put the ponding system in. I suggest that you consider that you would do that if you needed the extra 2 acres to site the plant on. I, too, am offended that you're spending all this energy trying to make Andre not be a piece of land that could be used for this sewer plant. Let me remind you again, this town has not voted on the location of the sewer plant, though you try to tell us that we have. We want the sewer outside of town. It's very simple. If you took a vote, which you're too scared to do, you would find that out. So as long as you're going to continue fighting to try to preserve putting a sewer that is not what you promised in the middle of town, you're going to have opposition, and you're going to have a lot of resentment from other people that are watching and keeping an eye on what you're doing. You're not working with the citizens. You're working against citizens. And until you take that vote, you will continue working against a huge portion of your town. I wanted to say, I think it, Rob said that he had a whole week to look that over. Why was council not put in there to discuss so that you're not in this position? Mr. LeGros would like to get this letter rushed off to, and you, Gordon, would love to get this letter rushed off to the Coastal Commission with no information on it. You're going to send a big scare tactic. Oops, look, there's power line easements. Not feasible. That's absurd. You do everything in your power to... That's coming off of Cabrillo Estates. It's coming from disposal of effluent onto a golf course. It's extremely high, and I think you need to take a look at it. The pollution is lightening up in other parts of town, and it's getting to be much worse over in that area. So I would propose that we don't know anything about our groundwater. Thank you.
Mrs. Stacker.
No answers for Linda.
I think those were all statements. I
think she was asking about the nitrate report.
I heard statements, but go ahead.
Okay. There's so much to talk about. You covered a lot of ground. But, of course, the highlight of the evening will be the discussion of the Andre property. It's very simple. Mr. Miller's report was premature. You don't have all the information. And I think you're going to be sorry that you ever had this discussion. Our message is the same. Move the sewer. I'm very grateful that there's a map on the wall right now for all of us to continue to look at. Lot 30, lot 35, lot 32. There's a lot of ground out there. You obviously didn't analyze Andre in the first place because you have to analyze it again. So when you go to analyze the correct piece of property that's suitable for a wastewater treatment facility, there's property available. Now, if the easements become the issue, I'm a bit alarmed that this is coming up now. Mr. LeGros, as a point of pride, said that on the wastewater committee, he talked about it. They all had a chat about it. Well, you had a real estate broker, he just resigned, on that committee. Couldn't he have done this title search for you? I presume you could have done it. Especially as the heat turned up about Andre. For 2 years, I've been standing at this podium pointing, move the plant. I read your EIR, Andre, environmentally superior alternative. Most of the people in the community didn't know where Andre was, what it was, or even that it's a well-known family. Some people thought the sewer plant was going to go by Mrs. Bowker's house on Andre Avenue, which is not the same Andre. So the whole discussion is premature. And go ahead, write a letter to the Coastal Commission. Again, I think you'll be premature you're jumping the gun. You should do a thorough analysis. Mr. Seitz, are you a real estate attorney?
Address your comments.
Oh, maybe you are. You're an attorney.
People, some of our task members had to come from home because of the way you're treating this topic. You are acting in very disregard to this community, and I am really upset. And I'm going to try to keep my emotions in check. Seismic activity, starting with that. Gordon was there and Bruce was there. Your own geologist laughed at Bruce Buell and said, "Don't even go there, Bruce. Don't even touch it with a 10-foot pole." The 2.2 at Andre with miles of uncertainty, and you can read the USGS your site yourself. Absolutely ridiculous. Don't even go there, Bruce. Don't touch it. Don't ever say it again. What do you do tonight? You embarrass yourselves. I didn't hear one word about the 8-acre parcel that also belongs to Andre, and I would like it investigated immediately. The easement, why is it so large? Mr. Miller, I'm sorry you had to give the report because I have respect for you. But I would like you to check with PG&E to see why the easement is so large in the first place. As president of the Humane Society, right across the street, the easement was 450 feet wide, and that's it. You need to find out why that easement is so big before you think about sending a letter to anybody. You are going to embarrass yourselves again with the Coastal Commission. Don't do this to this community. You want this thing to drag out? You send that letter. They are going to laugh at you. There's a residence out there right now. If there's an easement that restricts everything, then you tell me why there's a residence out there. And I write large environmental documents. And I'm going to correct you, Mr. Hensley. You do find out these things ahead of time. This thing, this property, should have had this disclosed at an early stage. We paid for a very expensive environmental process. And you don't know about the utility easements? There's power lines out there. Of course there's easements. Well, that's common sense. There was an easement out there. My gosh. So that's enough about the Andre. Now the Cantu letter that Mr. Buell read. If you really want to know how to serve your community, you will write Mrs. Cantu back. She does obviously not know how this community feels about this project. And if she thinks a couple people coming at the April 15th meeting caused the Coastal Commission to change their mind and grant a de novo hearing, then you need to educate her. Just as you need to educate the Regional Water Board, whose staff was very misinformed about the project. Start representing this community and stop making us all look like fools in this state.
Yes, and thank you very much, Lindy, Mr. Payne, everybody. Vivian.
Well, if I could find okay. My name is Vivian McNeil, and I live in Los Osos. Mr. President, members of the board, staff, audience here and at home. I wish to correct earlier misinformation during public comment. Originally, I, Dick Parker, Al Barrow, and Lindy Owen were members of the LOCAC Election Committee. He and Richard Parker had placed them around town. I subsequently borrowed four large sandwich boards from the Los Osos Community Services District. The signboard that Mr. Sawyer referred to, which was picked up by the county, was the largest of Al's. After recovery, that sign was placed in front of Spotlight Printing for the duration of the election period, and was not the sign that the deputy was seeking when he sought and found the CSD sandwich board in Al's yard. My husband and I had placed the election info on these four sandwich boards that belonged to the CSD and had placed them throughout the town. On Monday morning after the close of the election, My husband went to pick up the sandwich boards, clean them up, and return them to the Community Services District water yard. He could only find three of those sandwich boards. The sandwich board that was at 11th and El Moro was missing, and it was this sign board that was found in Mr. Barrow's backyard, not the one that Mr. Sawyer was referring to. And I do appreciate all of Lindy Owen's help and Al Barrow's help on the election committee while they were on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Betty Gustafson, and I want to make reference to, again, the site for Andre and some of the discussions. One of the opponents talked about the fact that she'd been watching this meeting for 2 years. I've been watching for 6 years. And there were lots of discussion around the earthquake possible fault when they were looking at the Tri-W site. It's interesting how suddenly it no longer becomes an issue when it's on the Andre site. There were some conversations about eminent domain. I wish you guys did have eminent domain and that you could do what you wanted to do or you wanted to do it. But the reality is you're dealing with these different agencies that keep saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. So you're looking at things like the Fish and Wildlife. You're looking at the Williams Act, which has not been brought up, that this is farmland. The Coastal Commission obviously doesn't give a hoot about your eminent domain powers because they're saying you don't have a right to put it where you want to. The Regional Water Quality Control Board, they're the ones that are going to have to approve going across the creek. And then, of course, we have PG&E and whether they are willing to release the easements. One of the opponents complained about all the money that the CSD has wasted. I think he said $20 million, poor management. If you had researched everything as thoroughly as the opponents feel that you should, it's just been more waste of money. That the point is to spend the money, which you did, in investigating.
Mr. President. The laughing and the comments, please let's hold those down. It's very intimidating for people to speak in public in the first place.
Their interest rates because of someone you sold the bonds because of lawsuits.
What does this have to do with this?
And
so. What does this have to do with the agenda item? Mr. Swanson.
She's not talking anything about this.
I have heard in comments on the consent agenda, comments relative to wasting money, et cetera, and I think I heard somebody say it was premature not too long ago in terms of what we were doing, which ties into that.
Plus, Mr. President, they also said that you should have investigated the site fully, which means spending more money. And I'm real tired of sitting there quietly, listening to them express their views, yelling, shouting. And I come up and I try to express my viewpoint and I have to put up with this. And I don't think that's fair. And they keep talking about fairness. I wish I didn't feel like I was sitting in a kindergarten class. Okay, that's all I have to say, but I think you guys have done a really good job. And I think you've researched what you needed to research at the time that you needed to do that.
Thank you. Thank you again, Mr. Swanson. I can hear you quite well from back where you're at. Again, thank you very much, Mr. Swanson.
You're welcome,
Stan. Okay, Mr. Swanson, you've just been warned. The next warning, I will call the sheriff and have him escort you out if you will not leave voluntarily.
My name is June Wright Los Osos. Actually, people in the community are sick and tired of what's going on in the back of the room, and tonight only highlights their disgust with the group that is doing this. I would like to ask if PG&E is going to move towers for only $100,000, whose $100,000 and how many towers are we talking about?
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's quite as easy as saying to PG&E, well, if you move a few towers and change the easement, we can go ahead with this. I think the arguments that have been offered tonight are very simplistic, and I'm kind of surprised how they didn't know these things when they've been the ones that have been working the hardest for the Andre site. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel Rosenthal, Osos. I do not know why this is such a big fight. Everybody should just, I don't know, it's just, I think, at any rate, about the conflict, this is the Andre site to everybody. Where's the camera? This is the page from the alternative sites from our EIR and our project manual that were repaired in 2000 and 2001 and certified. This is an assessor's map. You just go to the assessor's office, plug in the parcel number of the site, the five potential sites you're looking at, and it pops up this page with this number on this public document that's available for free in 10 minutes, references the deed that states that Pacific Gas and Electric Company, California company, deeds to the Andres that lot, that 33-acre lot, in 1973, because Andres bought it with the reservation of that western portion of that lot that's outlined there. By the way, that's a survey that was done in 1977. It's also on record, easily found by anyone in our county in about 10 minutes if they go down to the recorder's office. I did all that after the meeting with the Coastal Commission because for 3 years I suspected that our consultants did not look at the first level of data available for the five alternative sites in a certified EIR. And for the last week, I've been looking at what the point of law is. Mr. Seitz might have to help me. It's ad hoc or hoc rationalization. When you prepare a legal document towards a given end, and it's often done in EIRs, I feel that because you represent all of the citizens of this community, I would like you to have counsel look into the role of our consultants, because I'm a licensed consultant, and if I had put this into an EIR document as a possible site without the caveat of this deed, if I were a developer, I would ask my attorney to look into a negligence suit, and I'm sorry. And I would question the capability of your sewer committee and the site selection committee.
Next.
We've been told for years that you have been thoroughly investigating all the alternatives. They've all been looked at, and we just heard how easy it is to get the information that's been presented tonight. On top of that, we also found out it took a whole week for Rob to determine this information. Amazing this hasn't been done before. I think it's important to know that the Coastal Commission wanted you to look at other viable options. The Andre site was mentioned by them because it came to the top of your list as a viable alternative, a viable other site. And the reason that they wanted you to look at that is because they were under the impression and were told that there were no other viable sites. So this Andre property came to the top of your list, and they've told you to look at it, but it's all because they want viable alternatives. There are other viable alternatives to Andre. You know, who knows, maybe the other ones in your EIR, you know, did you guys really look at those? Kind of brings that all into question. I'm looking at that thin strip of land there, and there was a comment made that, well, there's setbacks, and it's not very wide on the restricted part of the land. I think the point is there's a lot of alternatives, but as soon as you guys heard, oh, there's restrictions, whoopee, all right, that's what we've been looking for. Let's kill this site. Let's send a letter off immediately. You know, you guys got all excited about it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So one of the previous speakers said that a lot of people in this community are disgusted with what goes on in the back of the room. I think they're disgusted with what's going on in the front of the room.
Next.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. You know, I wish I could get excited about this. To me, it's just more palaver, and I don't care where you put it. You could, hey, I got a house on the 4th Street. You want to put the sewer up there? Go ahead. You know, let's get it done. The thing that bothers me, too, is I've dealt with sewers. For 20 years, I lived on a boat, and our double bunk was a holding tank. So I kid, it was a 55-gallon waterbed. The holding tank was stinks bad. But if you took care of it, if you maintained it, it was fine. You never know it was there. Now, you can walk down to the marina, and I'm using this as an example. People who don't know how to maintain their their holding tanks stinks. And that's what I think a lot of this talk about the sewer is about. I have a lot of faith in the engineering that's going on today. And we're not just going to turn our back on the thing. Naturally, it'll stink if you don't pay any attention to it. We got all this provided for. So, like I say, I could care less in terms of getting excited. Maybe I should. I hate to talk about the fire department. I'll get excited. But this is the sewer. So all I can say is, being in the position I'm in, I throw my faith in with the board. They've studied. They deserve it. And I take my hat off to the staff, the board, and all of you. Thank you very much. And I hope I'm speaking for a lot of other people.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board on the consent calendar minus item 12.
I have a comment.
Vice President Hensley.
I just want to, just for as long as we've gone on about this, I just want to clarify that we're not sending a letter to the Coastal Commission. We're sending this document and an explanation of the studies that are going on. Is that not your understanding of the direction that we gave you? We're not justifying or saying, gosh, Andre's out. All we're saying is, here's where we are right now, and getting their opinion about how much more money we need to pump into this. So, and we're waiting to hear from PG&E. That's, we're all very early in moving this along. So just let's not get too excited about what the board has or hasn't done yet. Thank you.
We have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
And that's less item 12.
Second.
Mrs. Vega.
Director LeGros.
Yes.
Vice President Hensley.
Yes.
President Gustafson.
Yes. On item 12, that's the regular meeting calendar. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staff is recommending that you go to one regular meeting a month. We had published a schedule.
I have an observation. On August 5th, I have a note in my calendar that the president will be gone.
Yeah, I'll be in Dallas. But,
yeah, I was reluctant to say the president would be in Texas, but I thought that might cause some confusion.
So now does that mean that we should or shouldn't hold a meeting on August 5th? Okay. So in terms of dates... Does that work? Does that work for? Okay, August 19th. Good. Other than that, I don't have a problem. Does anybody else have a problem with any of those dates? Okay, then with that,
you do need to take public comment, Mr. President.
Yeah. Any other board comment? Public comment on this item?
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos. I'd like to address the idea of going to one meeting a month. I think that's a terrible idea. This just continues a trend we keep seeing in all of your meetings. Let's go over some of the things that we've seen lately. First of all,
let's talk about the one item a month, one meeting a month.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm making an argument, and I want you to hear the argument. So
okay.
Please,
well, no,
please.
Not a problem with the argument. So
I'm trying to give you some information and some background so that you can make a decision, and please don't interrupt me. We see minutes coming out of all your meetings where public comment is no longer documented. We see committees limiting public comment in the order that it's taken and in how long they can talk. We see agenda items that are being all grouped together into one so that the public has an hour of presentation to make comments on, and they get 3 minutes instead of dividing it up into different agenda items. And now you're talking about limiting our public comment by half by cutting your meetings in half. Now, you guys have a microphone, and you have unlimited time to talk about things and talk about issues and go back and forth. We get 3 minutes after an agenda item. And for you to cut your meetings in half, you're going to end up having longer meetings. You're going to end up bunching stuff together into agenda items so that you can get out of here at a reasonable hour, and you're just going to limit our comment time. And you need to reconsider that. There's too many things going on here, too many important things, and everything you do, it seems you're trying to cut us out of the loop. So stop it.
Next.
Julie Tacker. I'm sorry if maybe Mr. Buell's not there now. He didn't explain the rationale behind this, and I'm sorry if he, or maybe he did and I didn't hear it, but maybe you could refresh my memory as or reiterate why we're doing this. And then I have to just recently we had a marathon meeting of 7 hours and 15 minutes. I don't know that you want to go that way. If you have monthly meetings, you're asking for marathons.
You're cutting down these meetings. You've met twice a month for how long? Since I can remember, and you're cutting them down now when you've got significant issues that you're discussing, namely the rationalization for why you're placing the sewer at Tri-W. There's a lot of issues that you're going to be batting around, and it seems you've got the fire department issue and other things. So I'm just questioning why you're reducing your meetings. And what you're doing is reducing opportunity for the public to comment on your activities. And I think it needs to be explained a little bit more to us. Thank you.
Thanks.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I know Julie asked what's the rationale, Mr. Buell, for cutting it down to a meeting a month. We elected you to be here 2 times a month. I don't get this. You know, this is going to backfire like everything else you've been doing. This is going to backfire. I suggest you not do this. This is our only opportunity to speak. I know you're trying to limit us some more, but this is not going to work. It's going to make it worse for you. So I'd like to hear from Mr. Buell your rationale why you need to cut it down. You've got a lot of things to do now. You've got a lot of issues in front of you. Thank you.
Next.
Can I hear the rationale?
I will address that at the end of the public comment. All the questions are about the same, so we're going to, rather than answer, Mr. Swanson, please. I'm sure you know better now. Lisa.
Lisa Schicker, if you don't answer the questions, then the speakers can't comment on your answers. That's how you have dialogue. This is a difficult forum. It's a very difficult forum to have a dialogue or solve any problems. If we never know how you're thinking, if you just hold it all back, then we can't dialogue. And that's the problem you guys are having. That's why you're having so much community dissent. You've got to start dialoguing with your community. We don't believe you represent us anymore because you're not dialoguing. And this is another example. Every speaker asked you why
you're going to one-month meetings, and all you say is, thank you, next, thank you, next. That's ridiculous. Why don't you start talking to the people? We're asking for it. When I go around town, when I talk to people, they tell me, what is going on with the CSD board? What's happening? Why have they become this? And I'm asking the same thing. Now, you know how long the meetings go. It's really ridiculous to go to one a month. There's too many issues right now. There's too many people interested. What's going to happen is you're going to start losing control more than you already have of what's going on in this town. You're going to get lots more dissension. You're going to get television shows that talk about you when you're not there. You're going to get other people discussing the issues and working to get things accomplished in this town, and they're going to have to work around you instead of with you. We've asked for town hall meetings. We've asked for a mediator. We've asked for an arbitrator. I wish more people would speak for you. So I'm just, that's my gauge of the situation. And I encourage you to step outside your circle of friends and see what the community really thinks. Let's get an outreach somehow so you get a feel for what's going on out there. I think I do now. And I wish you would change the format. If it's not a business meeting, then make it something else. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I'm going to ask it too, because I think we need every single person that's in this room should be asking, why are you intending on cutting the meetings back to one per month? This is crisis time in Los Osos, and I know that you like to think that we created it, but we didn't. You did. You didn't get your permits. You haven't followed the proper procedure to put a sewer plant in the middle of town. We spend many of our hours investigating, reading, learning also, and then we spend the same hours that you spend at these meetings. So we are willing to come to meetings twice a month, and we ask for even more meetings that could be focusing on issues where the community could work together. It is in your mission statement that you encourage the community to become involved with community activities that you are ruling over. So I would like to hear the rationale. I think we'll hear it. You know, maybe you'll give us your version of it, but we have no comment to what we feel, you know, your rationale addresses or doesn't address. So if you want 14-hour meetings, that's how long it'll take to get, unless you want to, you're going to probably group it all into a new format. I think that, I'm not being threatening, but I think that actually Cambria had a problem with their meetings not being clearly defined, and legal action was taken, and they straightened up their meetings. We don't need to go to that. I think you just need to realize that this is one of the most important times in Los Osos. We are financially $20 million in the hole. We have some serious issues to address. You have a huge group here that would like to be involved and help, and I know you want to say that we hinder and that we're here to upset things and cost the district money. That is not true. Your choosing not to work with us is where the problem lies, and I hope we can get a mediator, and we need at least 2 meetings per month. Thank you.
Next.
Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos. This is about the meetings per month, but I just want to say I appreciate why you might want to only meet one meeting per month, and just even though I was unhappy with the way you presented the issue of the site tonight, I know how hard that you work and the staff works, and I just really hope you don't lose the funding for this, because I know how hard Bruce especially worked on all this, and I just hope that you can come to a way to deal with this through the short term and meet and to deal with those decisions to save the funding in the next 90 days. I think you're going to have to meet a lot, and you have to meet by law in public. And I hope
you'll be causing a temptation of the directors to have serial meetings. Oh, hi, Stan. This is Gordon. Okay. Thank you, Gordon. Okay. Gordon told me, hi, Richard. If you do that, you're going to have a serial meeting. If you have to go outside this, that's a violation of the Brown Act. So I'm warning you, be careful. Also, I would like to speak to you as a friend of the community and a supporter of this community that you need to keep the channels open. You need not to be the dictatorship that is putting out the bear pride with the propaganda of the dictatorship, but you need to start opening up your ears, maybe get some Q-tips. I've got some extra ones I'll provide you. Clear the wax out of your ears and listen to what people are saying. I went to get some food for my dog tonight, and some guy stopped me in the parking lot and said, "Al, I hear you all the time. I really appreciate you talking. What can I do to help you?" I don't think I'm saying anything particularly outstanding, but other people stopped me. I went to an art opening on Sunday over at Morro Bay Art Institute. People came up to me and said, "Well, we're so glad that you're dealing with some of these issues for us. We can't be there." I think you're making a big mistake to try to use the military tactic. I know you have a military mind. I know you've been trained as a military person. But using military tactics in local government is a bad policy. Thank you.
Next.
Betty Gustafson, I certainly understand why you're only going to do once a month. With the sewer project on hold and the fire tax didn't pass, you came up tonight and talked about the prime with the CDF and instructed the staff what to do with that, proceed with that. So to me, it doesn't seem like you have a lot of business until you get the issue resolved with the sewer and with the Coastal Commission, and you're working on that. I'm distressed to hear people say you haven't been open to dialogue, because I remember when the board members took turns sitting in the CSD office every Saturday morning from 9 to 12 for something like 2 years for people to come in to talk to you. And as I remember right, there were some days when people didn't even show up, or it was one or two. So if people in the community are saying, "Gee, we haven't had a chance to talk to the board members about this," you made yourself really available. You've made yourself really available all along the way. Some people seem really confused about what a business meeting is like. That one of the speakers was talking about that you don't record the minutes and you don't put the speakers, all the public speaking and stuff. Apparently that person has not had any experience going to boards and understanding what minutes are like for different organizations. I've written minutes for organizations, and you don't write what everybody said. That would be ridiculous. If people want to know, they just watch the video and see what people said. So I agree with the board, with Mr. Buell, that once a month probably at this point is sufficient for the amount of
that I am approached by people I've never seen before who call me by name and express that they appreciate what I have to say, and I say to them, really, you should come in and express your opinion too. It would be more effective than me saying the same thing every day, every meeting, and being ignored. More people should express the same opinion that they agree with me on, and if we're down to one meeting a month, I will certainly encourage that. So that more people have 3 minutes at a time to talk to you. As far as, not hearing what we say, we tried real hard to hold up that vote on the fire department tax increase. A special tax is a mortgage on your property. A lot of people don't understand that. There was a lady at the town hall meeting that had no idea that a tax bill was actually a lien on her property. These bonds you sold are a 30-year mortgage on people's property, and you've got rid of the biggest part of the bonds. I guess you still have a couple of million you can sell yet, but that's not going to put a sewer in this town, and you'll probably have trouble selling it. At any rate, as I said, we tried to tell you that, And you left us with the only alternative was to vote against it so that we could hear what other alternatives were and give other fire departments a chance to give you an estimate of what they could do for us. So it was basically wasting the money that was spent on the election, plus it didn't make you look too good either. I don't think you should cut back to one meeting a month. And I get my tongue tangled up here because it's kind of funny. Anyway, that I believe there's a lot of people out there that agree with me, and we'll have them here at the one meeting a month if we have to get back to two meetings a month. Thank you.
Thanks.
June Wright, Los Osos. Good evening again. I'm not particularly for or against one or two meetings a month. I can understand the one meeting a month. And if my memory is correct, I forget exactly what meeting it was. This was mentioned as a possibility. So if anybody thinks this is coming as a complete surprise tonight, I guess they were talking when it was first mentioned. And on this thing of answering questions after each speaker, I have heard you answer questions after a speaker. You've answered the question thoroughly. And the next five speakers have asked the same question. So I think waiting till the end of public comment is a very wise thing. The only real comment I want to make is about June 17th. Wasn't there some
mode? And we don't believe that you need two meetings a month. We are also accused of not being fiscally responsible and wasting the taxpayers' money. These meetings do cost money, not only in terms of your time, the staff's time, but the recording time and the rent of the room. It's our belief that we can reduce our overhead and the governance costs for this district accordingly.
And we can also set special meetings as necessary. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Vice President Hensley.
I believe we originally met only once a month, and that we bumped that up as the workload increased. But besides that, with the wastewater project on hold and we're sending staff to do considerable amount of research, it is difficult for staff to do their regular work and prepare the agendas to get ready for a meeting. And when you have one twice a month, that means they're continually in a cycle of getting ready for another meeting. There's work that needs to be done in addition to just getting the agendas together. There are some comments that, and we've had this kind of discussion all along, that we're not a city, we're a special services district. We have water service, we have sort of a wastewater service, and we have some minor lighting service and the solid waste. We have a parks without any money. And so what we've got on our agenda under normal circumstances, a CSD doesn't have a whole lot of work to do. When you don't have a big project like a wastewater project or a water project or something going on, the routine of a district that just provides water service, etc., the business doesn't take two times a month. And we've moved into a more quiet period until we get back to the Coastal Commission at least. So I personally am satisfied with one meeting a month, and I think staff's evaluation that the agendas will not be overly packed on that one time, I'm satisfied with that. And unless there's further comment, I'm ready to make a motion.
please.
I would move staff's recommendation with the change of August 5th to August 19th. And I believe, Mr. Buell, there was a question about June 21, and that's a special meeting, correct?
Yes, it's a special meeting, and we had requested that you do that separately from a regular meeting. It's our belief that you should take the time to discuss the candidacy of those individuals who have nominated themselves.
So June 21 is on the is on our calendar separate from this motion?
Yes, it's a special meeting. It's not a regular meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Buell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Agenda item 15 is adopt resolution amending personnel policy to revise layoff procedures. We have introduced this resolution to your board at your May 6th meeting. It is consistent with the procedures that were incorporated into the two memorandum of understanding that you adopted on May 6th. It streamlines the procedures for laying off employees. We have discussed this proposed resolution with the two remaining bargaining units, and I believe we have concurrence with those with the representative of those two bargaining units that this does make sense at this time. So staff is recommending that you adopt the attached resolution.
Any board comment? Any public comment on this item? Bring it back to the board.
Second.
Mrs. Vega.
Director LeGros.
Yes.
Vice President Hansley.
Yes.
President Gustafson.
Yes. Okay, director and staff comments. Mr. Buell, do you have any comment?
Just that you were going to discuss the possibility of a special meeting at this point in time.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to call a special meeting for Wednesday on May 26th. And it would be at 10 a.m. to address the question of the wording on AB 2506. 10 a.m. We'd be able to be joined by Director Bowker at that meeting. Any discussion?
Staff would have to find a venue for you, Mr. President. Okay. We will publish that in a notice.
Right. Thank you. Any other director comments? President Hensley.
My only comment is I would like to ask staff to I would like to see an evaluation of the sort of standard care in the industry relative to the evaluation of the Andre site. And if you can bring back a report to us sometime in the fairly near future about what happened there and what is sort of the normal practice, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, let me just make one comment relative to our consultants. I heard some comments earlier, and in dealing with all of our consultants, I found them all to be professional, and their work has been quite good. And I just hate to hear some of the comments relative to that. Now, I do understand Vice President Hensley's request.
Following that, you will have a special meeting on June 21. That will be at 7 p.m. at the Sunnyside School Auditorium. Then your next regular meeting following that will be July 1. 7 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. There will not be a meeting here on June 3rd. That was canceled. The special meeting that you've called this evening for Wednesday, May 26th at 10 a.m., we will need to find a venue for you, and we will publish that in the notice.
Did I hear a motion to adjourn? Did I hear a second?
A second?
Probably not, but we stand adjourned.